Psalm 5, we're beginning the first verse. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favour you will surround him as with a shield. We have many instances in this world, do we not, where people seek to get to a certain place to be one of the first ones there, to get somewhere early where something's about to take place. In anticipation of maybe a sale, we have the January sales, don't we? We've had this crazy thing over the last 5 years or so of Black Friday or whatever they call it, where people sell things which are not even worthy of being sold, some of the things. They're old stock, and yet people are duped into diving to these sales and pushing other people out of the way to get there, to be the one who gets that one item that's been reduced by £50. There are many instances of places where people want to be there, want to be there on time. You have even in that story, is it by A.L. Milne? I think I've got the wrong author, but Alice in Wonderland, where you have the white rabbit, and he's running around. He's got this clock around his neck, and he doesn't seem to know what he's late for, but he's running around like a headless chicken. And he's just late for a very important date. There are many things that we do well to get to a place early for. The title of the message this evening is this: Seek Him Early. Seek Him Early. We take for our text this evening this verse 3 of Psalm 5. Give heed to the voice of my cry. Sorry. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. First of all, it must be stated always, that you cannot suppose for one moment that the holy, almighty, set apart, righteous, sin hating God will take heed to anything you think or consider to be prayer. If you be not found in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and your prayer be not offered up in and through him. We touched on that briefly this morning, did we not? But oh, to know the Saviour is to have absolute. People say there's no absolutes. Oh, there's some great absolutes. There's some great absolutes in the faith. To have absolute, unfettered, unbridled confidence and boldness even when seeking after God in what is called commonly prayer. For the child of God, for the one who's in Christ Jesus, the one who's leaning on and trusting on the Lord Jesus alone for salvation, they have absolute confidence. It doesn't matter how everything else around shifts and moves and is taken away even. They're still, as David says in Psalm 40, they're still set upon a rock. They're set upon the rock who is Christ Jesus. As that man in the parable the Lord Jesus taught, who built his house upon the rock. The rock, he says, is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ himself and his teaching. If you'd be building your life upon him, it doesn't matter what else happens. Many things, good and bad, come to pass. But that which is firm, the rock, who is Christ, remains the same. Once again, we looked at that this morning. The same yesterday, today and forever. He remains the same. And those who are trusting Christ are immovable. And so this is an absolute confidence. So much so that David the psalmist says here, my voice you shall hear in the morning. Not I hope you're going to hear me. Remember, we just read the Lord Jesus Christ says about those people, those hypocrites, those who think because of vain repetition, somehow they're going to be heard. Shouting and screaming and in many cases mutilating their bodies and doing all kinds of crazy things. God does not behold them. God does not listen to them. But David says here, a statement that indeed we who know the Lord Jesus Christ say to others, and we say, do you know what, when I cannot, there's many things I can say are not so in my life. There's many things I can say that indeed I know not. But this I know. When I come before my Saviour God, he hears me and I know him. Jesus says of his sheep, as he calls them in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. I'm known of my own. What a great confidence for David to say here, you shall hear. You shall. He said in verse 2, give heed to the voice of my cry. Here is a man who's crying out in need. The psalmist is honest. Throughout the Psalms, you see the honesty of the man of God. He pours out his heart to his God. This is an honest book, especially the book of the Psalms. It's an honest book. It doesn't paper over cracks. In many cases, the psalmist is tempted to think, well, am I on the right side? Am I on the victory side? Why do the wicked prosper, he says elsewhere. And then he says, does he not, at the end, Then I went into the temple of the Lord and I saw their end. You see, although David comes in great need, in great suffering, he says, give heed to the voice of my cry. But when he comes and pours his soul out to his God, there is where the confidence comes. God comes by his Spirit and indeed gives him that confidence, reminds him of his great promises to him. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. So firstly, see here. He hears. The Lord God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, his ear, we're told, ever attends to the cry of his people. Now, we know God does not have an ear. Of course he does not. But isn't that the great wonder of God's grace, that he reveals himself in his word by many illustrations that we understand? Christ's sacrifice on behalf of his elect is as a sweet-smelling savour unto his nostrils. God has no nostrils. God is spirit. God, no one has seen God at any time. And yet God deems it necessary to indeed use such things to show his great love, his great mercy towards his people. And his ear is ever open to the cries of his people. Him who's the lofty one, him who heaven and earth cannot contain. People speak of God being in heaven. God is not in heaven. Heaven's his throne. The earth is his footstool. But heaven cannot contain. That's why we don't speak of God dwelling in temples made with hands. Because nothing in all creation can contain the great Almighty. And yet, he deems it so to draw close to his people. Isn't that a great wonder? Isn't that a great wonder? No wonder people indeed cannot comprehend, because they do not have the understanding of being made alive in Christ Jesus. It is a wonder to say to people who believe not, I know God and God knows me. And not only that, he hears me. He always hears me. He hears his people because of one thing. He hears his people because of Christ Jesus, his son. Here is a positive, confident, certain assurance. It's called blessed assurance in the hymn. Jesus is mine. It's a confident, certain assurance the people of God alone know to be so. Know to be so. Not hope to be so, but know to be so. My God and Saviour hears me. Hears me and shall hear me and ever shall hear me. And will hear me evermore. It's been well said of David, this same psalmist David, who we see the flaws of even him, who when he fell into sin, great sin with Bathsheba, and he was brought in repentance. He was brought in repentance to God. We see and we marvel that indeed it never for one moment says that the Lord ceased to look on David in grace. It says the thing displeased God. You see, once in Christ Jesus, we're in Christ forever. This is not license to live as we like, but it's the reality to say if any of us sin, we have an advocate with the Father on high. If anyone says he has no sin, he makes God a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we sin indeed, we know he's faithful and just. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so this David proved God time and again. But we see here, when he says indeed, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. When he says this, it has this meaning. It has this allusion to set in order things, to set things in the right order, to set in order the prayer, as indeed they would have set the wood for the sacrifices in the Old Testament. As they would have set the wood, they had to be set in a particular way before the sacrifice was offered up to God. Well, that's what prayer is indeed. It's to offer up our prayers, our supplications, our praises, our thanksgivings unto God. Prayer has got nothing to do with man. It's about coming before God. But God is pleased to bless in such a thing. To set in order that which is for the sacrifice. We see in Psalm 141 these words. Lord, I cry out to you, make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense. The lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And so we see the Spirit of God is causing David to liken prayer as to be that great sacrifice unto God. That which God accepts. That which God accepts. It's the savour that God accepts. And so we see here that prayer can only ever be offered up to God Almighty through the one sacrifice which was made at the end of the ages. And this is your confidence if you know the Saviour. It is to say, I know for certain he shall hear me. Why will he hear me? Because of the sacrifice. Because of Christ. Because of who I pray through. God always hears you and is always pleased as well to accept you as he indeed accepts his beloved Son. For as your prayers are offered up in and through Christ Jesus, who we are told is for his people the Lord our righteousness. He's the righteous one and he's made righteousness to us. They are that perfect spiritual sacrifice that God is well pleased with. He upbraids the people in the Old Testament on various occasions for their so-called offerings to him. And he says, in fact, you see in Isaiah 1, he says of their many offerings, their many sacrifices. They weren't offered up in faith, you see. He says, I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them. And God indeed is sick. He's sick of the false offering of pretense at religion and prayer and self-righteousness. But that which is offered up in his Son, oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And if you are offering up your prayers, trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ, God looks and smiles on you. They are that perfect spiritual sacrifice, which is a sweet smelling savour, we're told. That's why we're told in 1 Peter 2, God called out his people, his own special people, called them out of darkness into his own marvellous light, that we may offer up acceptable sacrifices in Christ. I was talking to a friend of mine I worked with some 26 years ago. And you know what I think of social media. It's a waste of time most of the time. People just talk rubbish on it. But it has its purpose. It had its purpose for me to try and look for these people. And I caught up with a few people that I used to work with. And this guy, I met up with him last Friday. In fact, one of the first things he said to me when I made contact was, are you still a man of God and a teetotaler? I said, well, I never was a teetotaler, but I'm still, by God's grace, seeking to be the man of God. But he said to me, he asked me the question. He says, oh, what is the difference between a pastor and a priest? And I said, well, the fact of the matter is, a pastor is just a gift given to a man to lead God's people. But the one who is in charge, the one who is the head of the church is Christ. And not only that, there is no sacrifice to be offered. The sacrifice is Christ. And this is one of the things which was rediscovered at the Reformation. What's called the priesthood of all believers. If you're a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a priest. In that context, the fact that you come and you come through Christ and you offer up his sacrifice unto God and God's pleased with it. You don't need some man and, God forbid, a woman. But you don't need someone to come and offer it up for you. You come through him who is the mediator and who offers up that one sacrifice that God is well pleased with. And that's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. Secondly, as the people of God, we are to present ourselves willingly. Willingly, not grudgingly. Now, I've been challenged in preparing this message that my prayer life leaves a lot to be desired. A lot to be desired. But nothing in the service of God are the people of God to be whipped up to do. If we need to be whipped up to do it, if we need to be put under some kind of fear, some kind of retribution, or that someone's going to come around and check up on us that we've done this, we've done that, we've done the other, that's not service to God. The true service to God is that which is stirred up in the heart, which is made willing by God. Willing service to God. We present ourselves willingly and gladly before our great God. Our prayers. Yes, when we plead with God and come in great need of help, that itself is worship. Have you thought about that? to come before Almighty God, and all you can cry out is, Lord, help. It's worship. For surely it is acknowledging who you are, and it's acknowledging who He is. In fact, it could be said to be it's one of the greatest acts of worship. For the Lord Himself delights. He delights. He delights to attend unto the cries of His elect. As the child of God comes early in the day. Early in the day. Before the day has hardly begun. There is something that cannot be replicated in the evening. That's not to say you don't come in the evening to pray. But there's something that cannot be replicated. Before the day has hardly begun, before anything has taken place hardly. It is to present ourselves before Him with a new day ahead. And every day is indeed a fresh day, a fresh slate. It is indeed a gift from God. And David says here, I will direct unto you. I will set it in order before you. I will lay it before you. I will lay it all before you. The day to come, I lay it before you. We come with the acceptable sacrifice of praise on our lips. That's what David is saying here. I come with the acceptable sacrifice of praise, but also to present myself. To present myself for the day ahead. For we are instructed in Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Useful. To be used by God. Use me in my life, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It also means, it can also be translated, is your reasonable worship. Lord, use me this day for your glory. Here is the simple prayer set in order before our Saviour God as you come humbly before His throne each morning. Here is the simple prayer that every child of God can pray. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Glorify yourself in my life today. For we're told in the New Testament time and again, we do all things as unto Christ. Even the most mundane things, we're doing as if we were serving Christ. Especially the mundane things, because we would be so tempted to do them as men please. It's only when they're watching us, we're told. But we do it even when they're not watching us, because we do it as we're serving Christ. Thirdly, as God always attends to the cries of His people, if He attends to the cries of His people always, ever, why wait? Why wait? We often so often we wait to our own hurt, don't we? We wait to come before God when we should come before Him straight away. Instead of fretting for so long. It doesn't mean that there will never be any problems. But come to Him now, because He is now attending to me. He's now listening. Seek Him early. Seek Him early. That's what the psalmist is teaching here. My voice you will hear in the morning, O Lord. And so in the morning I will direct it. I will set it in order to you. In the morning. Present each day before him as you enter into all that shall come to pass. Much which is unknown as yet to you. Present it to him. Why? Bring it before him who not only knows the beginning from the end, but he's not only the God who knows the beginning from the end, he is the God who brings all things to pass, who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1. With such confidence of God's care and attention that he pays to his people, his elect ones, whom he delights in, always delights in. You who are his can come, can always come in the morning to him, setting it all before him with perfect peace and perfect joy. For fourthly, it would seem in praying to God as we wake and face the day ahead, we have such confidence when considering such love shown unto us who know the Saviour for grace and mercy in salvation. For his dealings with us already. It's motivation to come to him. To come to him early. For the psalmist says elsewhere in Psalm 92 verses 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And to sing praises unto thy name. O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness. Note this, to show forth thy loving kindness, to bring it to remembrance. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Considering such things as we look towards the day to come, whatever uncertainties, whatever concerns, whatever worries, pondering such love, we know he will heed our prayers as we bring to remembrance, as we bring to remembrance his loving kindness already to us. Does it not say in the scriptures, he who did not keep back his own son, will he not also freely give us all things in him? And so with confidence in advance, we know that place of our evening prayer will surely be to give thanks. We know already it will be in the evening to give thanks for his great faithfulness in that day which he will surely make known. Now, you may feel that where God has placed you, where God has placed us as a church, we are few. We are few who offer up this acceptable praise unto God. This acceptable praise unto God and trust his Son for salvation. Quite often you may well be the only one there. But remember, there was once a man named Elijah, who we read of earlier. A man named Elijah who thought, and he was we would not be so harsh on him as to think that this was inaccurate. It would seem everyone had turned aside after worshipping idols. He thought he was the only one left who did not bow the knee to Baal, the false god. And we may feel that we are in this wilderness, let alone being a believer in this wilderness where it seems, how can it be? There are so many people, they claim to be believers, and yet they don't believe the truth of the gospel. And when they say they believe it, they're ashamed to proclaim it. They've bowed the knee. It may not be to a stump or a stone, but they've bowed the knee to the idol of man's teaching, mingling it with the truth. And yet God told him in a still small voice, yet I have left 7,000 in Israel, all of them without exception, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. You don't know where they are. You've not met them, but they're there. I have my people, and every mouth which have not kissed him. 1 Kings 19:18. And so too, in our day, God still has a people who look to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in truth, alone, trusting in this one gospel, trusting in the one faith that was once delivered. And we read in Malachi 1 verse 11 these wonderful words, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great. Remember when this was written. He brings this word to Malachi the prophet, the last prophet of the Old Testament, before the coming Saviour, before John the Baptist, the forerunner who was foretold, would come and prepare the way of the Lord. What does he say? He says indeed he's going to fulfil that promise. That promise that he has a people. That he has a people from among the nations. That he's going to fulfil that promise. That promise given long ago to Abraham. In you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Not just this one group of people. My name shall be great among the Gentiles. That was an amazing thought in its time. The non-Jew, the peoples of the world, the peoples of the world in those days in the Old Testament were thought as to be the heathen, those who will not worship God, who worship false gods. I have my people among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. And in Christ Jesus, he has a people thou hast redeemed us out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. And he continues to build forth his church in all the world. In all the places that you would say God's church would not thrive. And so we stand together in prayer, presenting ourselves in the service of the gospel of his grace. Together with those we know not. We come knowing that he shall heed us. He shall hear us. Yes, there are a people. There are a people reserved, chosen and set apart to be his own special people. They do not know it, yet they must come, we're told. Even so then, at this present time, Romans 11 tells us, even so at this present time, also there is a remnant, even as in the days of Elijah. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. People say this is the day of small things. I have a problem with that statement, although I understand it. Because God has from the beginning of time, when he revealed his gospel, even when he revealed his gospel to Adam in the garden, he has been calling out his people. And he's continued to call out his people. And such as must be saved, such as have been ordained unto eternal life, continue to believe. We may not be seeing large things where we are, but it doesn't mean that God's work isn't going on perfectly where he wills and when he wills. Yes, he will do his work, and he is continuing to save his people from their sins. But the question is tonight to all who will be listening right now, are you found amongst that number? No one knows that number, only God. Are you found amongst that number for whom the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom? We're told he gave himself a ransom for many. Not every, but many. They are a great multitude. They may seem to be amongst the peoples of the earth a remnant, but they are still a great multitude. Are you found amongst that number? For whom he redeemed, set free by his blood at the cross. Bought back, ransomed. Then to you, if you're brought to know that now, to you he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you, another definite word again. As surely as David says, what does he say? My voice you shall hear in the morning. You shall hear. God, who causes his people to call him, he shall hear them. He shall hear them. And so God says to you, who are caused to see your sin and your need of the Saviour, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Not you might be saved. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is nothing hypothetical about the gospel. It's a positive thing. It's a positive thing. If you're brought to believe on this Saviour and call on him, you shall be saved. You need not doubt it. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe truly on him? Then seek him early. Seek him early. The scriptures say that there is not another day. Now is the accepted time. Behold, today, I have no knowledge of tomorrow. The psalmist spoke of this day, this morning. He spoke not of the next day. He didn't speak of the past day. This day. Today is the day of salvation. If God draw you now, by his grace, to his son, he promises, you hear of promises in this world, you cannot believe a single promise in this world, however well meant, because we fail, we mean to do things. Jesus is not a saviour who depends on you. He's not a saviour who depends on anyone else. He's not a saviour who might save, who could save if only. The Lord Jesus Christ is the saviour. He's the saviour of as many as are called in him from eternity past and know they believe on him now. How do you know you are his? Because you believe him. That is how. And he says, and he promises, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes believing me, him that calls on me, him that trusts in me, not him that knows everything, but him who knows one thing: I'm a sinner and I need salvation. You've got it. It's yours. It's yours. If you know yourself to be in need of salvation, you have got it. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. It's the surest promise you can believe on this side of heaven. You who are a believer already, as surely as Christ never cast you out when you came to him, when you came in faith, how can he cast you out now? How can he not hear you in the morning now? How can he not hear you whenever you come before him? He will not fail to heed your prayer right now and evermore. Wherever you're found praying to him. And so may we continue to come before our great God and Saviour, setting in order, presenting ourselves to him. By him, that is Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifices of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.